I'm Matt Knotts.
And I'm Chris Lindstrom. And we are the co-founders of the Lunchador Podcast Network, your home for amazing and wide-ranging podcasts in Rochester.
With shows like Anomaly Presents, Behind the Glass, the Level Up Coffee Podcast, Punches and Popcorn, Just Can't Not, and of course, Food About Town, we celebrate the people, places, and things that make Rochester a fantastic place to live.
We have more shows joining the network soon and offer remote and in-person recordings and video too. We're excited to bring distinct and diverse voices together on one network.
Follow Lunchador on social media to catch new episodes as soon as they release and stay tuned for exciting news about new shows and how to support them. Lunchador, celebrating Rochester's creativity through the magic of podcasting.
Good morning and thank you for listening to the podcast. I just got in from walking my dog this beautiful rainy Sunday Rochester morning and realized that we are dangerously close to that sit outside in the backyard with a cup of coffee time of year to record the podcast. My favorite time. My favorite time is that time of year. It's close. It's 52 degrees right now. Now, you might be thinking, oh my God, it's freezing. You want to sit outside? 52 degrees is just a tad chilly for me. Remember, I run hot. Okay, I run hot. 60 for me is perfect weather. That's perfect. So we're close. We're just a little on the chilly side right now. I get hot at 70. That's when I'm like, a lot of good stuff to talk to you about today. Thank you again, as I mentioned, for listening. I do appreciate it. This is a quick housekeeping note on the podcast, and that is Spreaker. Many of you will not know what I'm talking about. Literally three of you will. Spreaker is a podcast hosting platform where this podcast used to be hosted. We moved over to Captivate when we joined the Lunchador Podcast Network, and I have officially cut off Spreaker, and therefore what I am here to tell you is that today's episode will be the final episode of the podcast ever to be posted on Spreaker. I will not be posting any more on Spreaker after today. This one will post, the next one will not, and all subsequent ones will not. This will affect, and I am not shitting you, literally three of you. There are three people still listening on Spreaker, and therefore, no good. Everyone listens on Apple and Spotify, and there's a handful of iHeartRadio. So, Spreaker, sorry, guys. Please subscribe over on Apple, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. Please, please, please. Okay. T-ball season is officially underway. Yesterday, my son, Leo Guglielmo, played his first ever T-ball game. It was so cute. We were down there for 3 hours. Would you like to take a guess in 3 hours how many innings of baseball were actually played? Okay, yeah, it was two. There were two innings actually played. It was the first day of the season, so there was like a parade and like a whole to do, and we did the playground for a little while. So, like, I'm kind of misrepresenting that a bit, but nonetheless, I was at a T-ball field for 3 hours and saw two innings of baseball. My son, so adorable. What they do is they do an inning of hitting off the tee, and then they do an inning of underhand pitch. So he gets a nice little hit off of the underhand pitch, like I'm talking about hard ground ball right up the third base line. And his mother and I are sitting in lawn chairs right behind home plate. He does that. He hits the ball. Ting! Right? Down third baseline. Good hit. Everybody's yelling, run, Leo, run. Run to first. He drops his bat, finds me and his mother in the crowd, and just stands there with the biggest smile on his face. I got to tell you, that is a memory that I will never, ever, ever forget. It was the most adorable thing I have ever seen in my entire life. He was so excited that he hit that baseball. It was so cute. God, that was worth every freaking minute, though. Every minute of that 3 hours was worth it for that 5 seconds of him just dropping the bat, finding me and his mother, and just huge, just standing there. He just stood there. He didn't run. He just stood there in the batter's box, dropped his bat, found us, and smiled huge. Like, so cute. So cute. Hey, you know what else? another exciting thing to tell you about real quick. The end of gala season, for me at least. Last night, I emceed the Make-A-Wish Gala at the Hyatt downtown, and that'll do it for gala season for the year. I have no more galas to emcee this year, and that is a very exciting thing. I've dramatically scaled down the amount of galas I emcee, which actually brings me up. I wanted to tell you about my next point, which is festival season, because gala season, for me, for years and years, it's been like this. It's like you get a little bit of a time off in like January, February. Then in like February-ish through April, you're just hammered with galas. Now, this is what my life used to be like. And I would emcee or attend galas essentially almost every weekend, maybe every other weekend from like basically after the Super Bowl until right about now, right? Early May. Usually the first weekend in May is like the end of the galas. When I left radio and also COVID happened, all the galas were canceled for a year. Some of them were canceled for a couple of years. And between me leaving radio, COVID, meaning that all the galas were reorganizing, and me, well, just between, I guess, those two things, and me wanting, not, you know, actually saying no to more things, I was able to sort of whittle down the gigs to, I think I was maybe in the last few years, last couple of years, 2023, 2022, I was probably doing six galas in that stretch. So almost every other weekend between like February and May, right? Just about. And this year, we made a conscious effort. When I say we, my wife and I said, okay, you know what we're going to do? We're going to pick and choose the ones we really like, and I'm going to make an effort to be home a lot more. And so a few things, I kind of put a few things into place for 2024. One was, of course, it starts with the galas, right? So it's really hard, man. It's really hard when, you know, when you're talking about charities, but I did notify a couple of my charities that I would not be available to emcee their galas this year, but I kept a couple. And the couple I kept, you heard me talk about, of course, Big Brothers Big Sisters, which is near and dear to my heart, the Chocolate Ball, which I really enjoy doing, and then, of course, I like Make-A-Wish Foundation quite a bit. I think it's just an excellent, excellent charity. And so last night was that gala, and it's one of the few that I've chosen to keep. And it was just a fantastic night. I mean, the amount of money raised last night, they raised over $230,000 last night. And it's a team effort, obviously. Everybody is pulling so much weight to make that happen, but there's a couple key people in the room, and I just love when there's like local celebrities in the room. Greg Connors, right? Greg Connors is in the room, and Greg is the Connors and Ferris attorney. You've seen him on TV 1,000 times. Oh, wait a second. Hold on. We have a guest appearance. Wait. King Magnifico, come here. They can't hear you. Come here. You have to tell ladies. But you have to tell ladies and gentlemen. Remember the people on the other side of the microphone are ladies and gentlemen. Can you come tell them?
Well, I'm coming to the point when I want that Yoshi. And that will be G.
Okay, I get it. All right, he's looking at his Mario Kart box. But anyway, the local celebs in the audience, Greg Connors, Jay Vanderstein, West Herr was there, all my folks from Canandaigua National Bank who were there to make sure that I don't actually spend any money because, of course, I owe them a lot of money right now from the construction at our plant. But really, you know, John Harris from Clover, Glover Krask, Nicole Kingsley Brunner, is their board chair. Just, honestly, I shouldn't have went down this road because there's too many people to name, and now I haven't named a few, and I'm so sorry. But anyway, just a really, really good showing of people and a really good cause. And Make-A-Wish is one of those charities that everyone has heard of. But these charities have, all of them have some issues. Like, for example, you've always heard me talk about Big Brothers Big Sisters. Our issue has always been that other charities, like Make-A-Wish, to be fair, and many, many other ones that you can think of, deal with situations where families in the suburbs get, unfortunately, they get touched by something. Their child gets diagnosed with something. It's the worst thing that's ever happened to them in their entire life. And this charity comes to their aid. And now they have a donor for life. Because that family, who may or may not be well off, will donate for life. Right? Big Brothers Big Sisters has always had that disadvantage because Big Brothers Big Sisters is working with inner city children, urban youth. So there's no rich families there. So they're never going to get that. Make-A-Wish has a different problem, but a problem nonetheless, and that is they are Make-A-Wish. The good thing they have going for them is you've heard of them. Everyone has heard of Make-A-Wish Foundation. But the problem is everyone assumes, because they are so famous, because everyone knows of them, that they're well-funded. And unfortunately, the funding for Make-A-Wish is left completely up to the local Make-A-Wish branches. And so, again, this is Rochester Make-A-Wish, and again, it's I just think it's such a great cause, and realizing how underfunded they can be, I just like to help. Yes, Leo?
Can you order the green Yoshi in that color and what Ouija and that call?
I think I could, yeah. Do you want to tell ladies and gentlemen about the plans today? Isn't it a boys' day?
Yeah.
What are we going to do today?
Usually, I make, only on Saturdays, I make Big Macs with buns of steel.
Mm-hmm.
And we do seasons a lot.
Yeah. So today, we are going to take white Yoshi and we're going to paint him rainbow, right?
Like take the Mario Kart?
Yeah. We're going to paint him rainbow, remember? We're going to go get some paint supplies and do an art project together.
Like on paper or no?
No, the real Yoshi.
Mario Kart?
And then do you know what else we're going to do today?
Yeah.
We're going to learn how to spell daddy, because Leo does all his artwork for mommy. And when I said why, what did you say?
I don't know how to spell dad.
So today we're going to learn how to spell dad. We have a lot of projects lined up. He's showing me stuff on his box now. I see that. I think that's a good idea, Leo. I love you, buddy. I'm looking forward. So I'm going to come upstairs in a little bit, and we'll go get bagels, and then we'll talk about the plan for boys' morning, okay? I love you, Leo. Leo, he was so good in t-ball last night. You should have seen him yesterday, I should say. So good in t-ball. He has another message for you. Sorry. Rainbow Yoshi will not be a competitor until his paint dries. That's right.
Yeah,
so any...
order another white Yoshi so... Then, like, we have a regular white Yoshi, and, like, we have rainbow.
That's a good idea. Yeah, you're right about that. That's a really good idea.
But we should have got two white Yoshi so we can paint one purple and one rainbow.
That's a good idea, too. Okay, so I think when you get to the interview portion of today's podcast, you're going to see that the moral of today's podcast could be, should be, may very well be, don't podcast around children, because when I'm interviewing Chef Richard Baker later in this podcast at his cafe, his child also gets involved quite a few times. His child had a little iPad that she was trying to log into and needed her father to basically navigate through the entire iPad for her while I was interviewing him. And so anyway, okay. So that's charity talk. Good stuff. Good to be done. Going into festival season now. So let's talk a little business here. We have actually scaled back not only on, as I mentioned, myself emceeing galas and things, but we're scaling back on festivals this year. And for anyone who doesn't know what I mean when I say festivals, is for years and years, frankly, 10 years to be exact, I signed up for as many local arts festivals as I possibly could. And I attributed the ability to grow a brand and sort of create how this whole thing started, which was with Googly Elmo Sauce, to just being out there constantly, just constant arts festivals, demos, really, right? Demos. Anybody who knows anything about grocery will tell you that the single biggest trick is just getting people to try it for the first time. And familiarity is such an important thing for people when they make a purchase, that if they're not familiar with your product, they're just a lot less likely to buy it. And so a demo, a free sample, is really the best way to get somebody familiar with your product. So my philosophy for years and years was try to hand a free sample to every single person living in the greater Rochester area. And so we signed up for all these arts festivals, and for years and years, as I mentioned, all those galas I would do right around this time of year when Lilac Festival started. What, buddy?
Paint white Yoshi rainbow and paint dark blue Yoshi purple.
Okay, you know what? When I get done with this podcast, which will just be a couple minutes, I'll come upstairs. Let's make a plan together, okay, on what we're going to do. Yep, we won't do anything without a plan, I promise.
I'll take the Yoshis out, and we are not going to paint yellow, because yellow everybody likes.
Yep. I agree. So years and years, I would do all those galas, and then I would do all the festivals. It really started with first weekend of Lilac Festival, and then it really didn't end until about the second weekend in October with Columbus Day weekend, Letchworth Arts Festival. And so, and there would be a gap here or there, you know, like Memorial Day weekend, Labor Day weekend, 4th of July weekend would always be free weekends. So there was not like, it wasn't every weekend, but it was most weekends between the beginning of May and the beginning of October. So this year, my business partner, Tom, has been telling me for a couple of years that take a look at the numbers, think about whether or not the squeeze is worth the juice on doing all these festivals anymore. And so we did. And frankly, there's only a handful of weekends where the squeeze is probably worth the juice. And so we are only doing those. So this year, the festival schedule, it's the second weekend of Lilac Festival, Naples Grape Festival in the fall, Fairport Canal Days coming up in June. We would have done Letchworth, but believe it or not, Letchworth is not happening this year for some reason. Also, Mackenzie Childs, they did 2 years of their arts festival. Mackenzie Childs is actually not happening this year as well. So those were two really good festivals that aren't happening this year that I would have done. So instead, I signed up for Hilton Apple Fest. So Hilton, Naples, Fairport, Lilac, and then I did Holy Childhood Wine at Center Ice as my five events this year. And that's it. And so this summer, I really should have some opportunities to finally be a family man in the summer, which I've never had the opportunity to do really since Leo was born, except for minus the 1 year of COVID, which was in a way great because it was, you know, everything was canceled. So I was home all summer. But in a bad way, the negative on that is we had just started a new business. We were just starting the manufacturing part of the business. And so I really spent most of that summer at work, frankly. That was a 6 or 7 day a week work for at least a year of starting Craft Cannery. And I remember summer of 2020 was just hustling. Just really just full throttle, 6.5 day a week work. And so even that summer, I didn't really get to be a family man that much. Now, speaking of being a family man, unfortunately, I'm leaving my family coming up here for a little while, for about 8 days, as I travel to Singapore and Japan. Have I mentioned this on the podcast yet? I don't think I've mentioned this yet, but it is right around the corner. I leave later this month. I leave and am gone for about 8 or 9 full days, and it is the Rotary International Conference, and I'm doing a layover in Japan, Tokyo, for one night in Japan. But I have Singapore for like 6 nights, Japan for one night. And then by the time you add all the travel in there, it adds a couple of days. It's a tough travel. It's Rochester. So my way there is Rochester, Chicago, Chicago, San Francisco, San Francisco, Singapore. That's 13 hours. Okay. The way back is Singapore, Tokyo. Stay the night in Tokyo, then Tokyo, Dallas, Dallas, Charlotte. Then it's like an 8-hour layover in Charlotte, which is probably going to be the world's worst layover because I'm going to be so dead tired and I'm going to be one flight away from getting home at that point. But anyway, Then it's Charlotte to Rochester finally, and I get back. It's all contained within May, but it's, man, I am looking forward to this. I am so looking forward to this. This is such an opportunity that Rotary is granting me here. Rotary sent me to Italy for a year, and now the opportunity to go to Asia. I mean, it's just a dream come true. I would have died to go to Asia and just never would have had this opportunity. And so I am so, so excited about this. Okay, well, with that, I think it's time we get into the actual episode here. I do have Chef Richard Baker of Cafe Erin, which translates to Ireland Cafe down in Menden. I will say that when I showed up at Cafe Erin, Chef Baker is the owner and chef of this cafe. It's a family business. His wife showed up to help, obviously, but he's the cook, right? He's the chef. She's got a full-time job. She just kind of helped out so he could do this interview. So there's some distraction in this interview. It is what it is. I appreciate you listening and just having a little grace with the fact that this guy's trying to do an interview and run a business at the same time and be a dad, by the way. And he's trying to be a father at the same time. As I mentioned already, his daughter kind of gets his attention a few times to help her with various things. So I appreciate you listening. Thank you so much for being here. Enjoy Chef Richard Baker, an Irish gentleman from Cafe Erin in Menden. Cinnabons? That's your name, Cinnabons? Sydney Barnes. Oh, Sydney Barnes. I thought you said Cinnabons. Yeah. Can you sing some Taylor Swift? No? Okay. What's up, chef? Welcome. Pull the mic right up by your... Okay. Yeah. There you go. Looking good.
Yeah.
I haven't seen you in... When did you leave New York Kitchen?
Was it... 16? No.
No. 20s. Of this year? January of this year?
22?
Yeah, probably 2021 or 2022. Straight to here? This was the
to Warfields, Clifton Springs.
Okay, all right.
And then we opened here in January.
Where are you actually from? I've always wanted to ask you what the accent was.
Oh, I'm from Ireland.
This is my second Irish guy in 2 days. Last night, my son has his first t-ball game tomorrow. This podcast comes out Sunday, so yesterday, according to the podcast.
Okay.
But just yesterday, one of the dads on his team is from Ireland. And then you got Damian Mulconry, of course. You got a bunch of you guys around.
He's a good guy.
So I asked him, last night I asked the Irish gentleman, first of all, how often do you get to go back to Ireland?
I haven't been back in 2 years.
How long since you've been here, what's the one thing you would say that you miss? Do you need to take care of something?
No, she's looking at it.
Okay. What's the one thing you would say that America, we just can't do as good as Ireland? Food-wise. You're a chef, so food-wise. What's the one thing we just can't do it? Ireland's got this over us.
Bread.
Mm.
I got to say bread.
Okay. What is it?
There's a lot of really good bread around here. In Rochester in particular, you know, like Artisan Grains. And,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of independent bakeries. But there's... it's very sweet, to my taste, anyway.
Yeah.
There's a bread in Ireland called a batch loaf, which is like a short, stubby loaf.
Yeah.
With a kind of a butter top, and that's just.
It's great. And why can't nobody here has tried that or?
I've never seen it.
No. Do you? What? Why don't you
I
do?
I can't make it.
No.
chef versus baker, two completely different skill sets. Is that right?
Very.
Yeah.
Very. They tease me.
Yeah.
Because I'm just a baker by name.
Yeah. I can't. That's right. Chef baker. That's right.
I can't. It's the science of it. It's a more, at least for me anyway, it's more, because it's so precise to bake.
Yeah.
That, you know, I don't have the attention span, or I don't have the patience with it.
Yeah.
So
it never occurred to me until this moment how funny that is, that your name is Chef Baker. That is kind of funny. Actually, that is, I don't know why that was lost on me until this moment. Okay, opposite question. What does America do better than Ireland food-wise? Something where you're like, God, you know what, Americans? I got to give it to you on that one. I'll tell you what the guy said last night, too. I'll tell you after you say it.
I think barbecue.
Okay. Okay.
Probably barbecue to me would be one that's not very...
What about, this is what he said last night. He said pizza. He said Americans make better pizza than what you would find in Ireland.
Oh, definitely.
That's for sure?
Without doubt.
All right. Yeah. Appreciate it.
I like pizza, you know. I mean, like, you know that anecdote of pizza and sex, right?
But Yeah.
You know.
In which order, by the way?
Well, no, pizza. You know why pizza's like sex, right?
Yeah. Oh, pizza's like sex. Why? Yeah, what's the joke?
When it's good, it's great. And when it's bad, it's still okay.
That's true. I will say the worst pizza I ever had. I used to do a gig at Tilt Nightclub on Thursday nights. And on the way back, I would occasionally go through like a McDonald's or a Wendy's. And one night I decided to go to the gas station and I got the worst pizza I've ever had. And I still remember it was like a piece of bread with sauce and cheese on it.
Oh, no kidding.
And honestly, at 2 a.m., still fine. Still fine. It was okay.
Yeah.
I've had worse.
Yeah, I never thought of that because it's something I typically don't seek it out, you know, pizza. I'll eat it.
Yeah, yeah. So when do you come over to the States? How old were you?
26.
26. Yeah, and right to Rochester or what? Like, what got you here?
Connecticut first.
Okay.
Then we were in Wisconsin and then to Rochester.
And what brought you eventually to Rochester?
My ex-wife is from here.
Okay, all right.
So I ended up here.
All right, so you ended up here. And you get to Rochester, and what are your first impressions? And what year, by the way, is that?
2004.
Okay, you beat me a little. I moved here in 2007. So.
Okay.
Also from Ireland. No, I'm just kidding. I'm from Ohio. Different.
Okay.
Very drunk. Still very drunk people. But, you know.
What part of Ohio?
Northeast Ohio, Ashtabula County, Conneaut, Ohio. Okay, so you moved to Rochester. You're chef the whole time? That's been your trade this whole time?
Been, yeah, yeah.
And okay.
I was in and out of kitchens, and then when what really solidified it and really made me knuckle down and focus on it was when my wife divorced me.
Yeah.
That... when everything else was spiraling and out of control in life, and I couldn't grab control of anything, I found that in the kitchen I could control a lot of things, you know.
That's beautiful.
And, yeah. You know, even like if it's just your prep work, or, you know, you have your to-do list for the day and you can knock it out and you're in charge of it, and it just kept me mind and my hands busy, you know. And
I totally get. I get what you're saying. That's such.
It was a weird time because.
Yeah.
You know, everything else was spiraling like down the drain, you know.
Right. That's such a mentally healthy thing to hear you say, too, is that, and I get that, being in a situation where the world, what seems like everything you can't control is out of your control and it's spiraling, that you find that one thing that you can just own it, and that makes you feel better. I love that. It's a good therapy.
And then it was like, and you know, and then I thought about coming out of kitchens for a while, and then it just, I met couple of really good chefs, and just the small little network of chefs that I met in Rochester that were really tight. Rick O'Hearn in Rooney's, Phil over at Warfield's.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was Human Mon at Rooney's. Just six or eight guys, and just that. Just core group, you know, that we'd meet for coffee a couple of times a month and just go over, hey, I'm working on this, what do you think? And
some bonding.
And it was just, that was like, that little group was, that was really helpful, you know, and then that was it, you know, I realized that, I started to realize, I mean, still in that sort of mindset, you know, where I want to control everything, but now I've understood that I can't.
It's impossible.
Right.
So, it's impossible, my
but
brother.
But I can't control certain things, right?
Yeah.
And the things that I can control.
Yeah. So are you classically trained in any way or just on the job training or what?
My grandparents had a bar or a restaurant. I did a sort of like an apprenticeship in Ireland.
Okay.
But a lot of on the job.
Yeah. And so I came to know you at New York Kitchen. So eventually you end up at New York Kitchen. You're their head chef for a while. Mm-hmm. How did you end up there, and then how did that gig go? You know, you were there through COVID, I think, right? You were there through the absolute kind of the craziness. I mean, I was at New York Kitchen for 10 years, right? Okay. Just as an instructor, not like you. You were there every day. I was there once a month for 10 years. But in the 10 years I was there, I saw so much change. And then obviously during COVID, because that place broke my heart, because in 2019 and early 2020, they were freaking thumping, man. They were doing really good. I think COVID shut the world down, as we all know, and New York Kitchen, it felt like took a minute to recover. And I feel like they got there. In 2023, which was the last year that I spent there, in December, I call it retired. I finally retired from something. But in December 2023, they were really bumping again. And they were for all of 2023, but man, they had a tough couple of years recovering from COVID.
Yeah. I think the restaurant world in general had that.
Oh, yeah, sure.
A lot of local restaurants really did. And then staffing is just like, it's an ongoing issue, you know?
Yeah. Oh, please tell me about it. Right? Oh my God. I had a nightmare week in terms of staffing at my joint. I got great, great people, but I can't get, so I have 14 employees, and I don't even know if I should be talking about this, but it's so raw for me right now, 'cause it's just happened this week. I have 14 employees, and I guess technically 12, 'cause I'm one of them. And then my partner's one of them. So I have 12, right? And it's like the couple, there's like the I don't want to say the bottom couple, but like the people who come in, mm-hmm. and they're in the entry level, the packaging, the bottling, the packaging, I should say, the boxing, the palletizing, that kind of stuff. I can't seem to get those couple of jobs to stick, right? Like I can't seem to get them to stick, and I can't quite figure it out. So we lost a couple people this week. Oh, sucked.
Tough, yeah.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, I'm here 90% on my own.
Right. Why? When I walked in, you were by yourself.
Yeah, Addie comes in Friday night, but she works a full-time job, and my buddy comes in. He comes in at 5, but he's a full-time job, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He helps me on a Friday night and a Sunday morning, but it's, I mean, it's hard to get people, and I don't think it's a pay thing, because, I mean, the minimum is pretty good.
Yeah, what is, I don't even know what minimum wage is right now. Is it 15? So we're paying way above minimum wage at my joint. I mean, yeah. A lot of jobs right now are paying $20. You need $20 to get somebody through the door at this point.
Yeah.
After New York Kitchen, you didn't come right here. You went to Warfields, right? Is that what you said? And then here?
Warfields, and then we, I'd been looking around for a lot of years, and then, when I finally convinced Addie to get involved in the game, that we started looking around a little seriously, and then we sort of a couple of places we looked at one place and you know, I was sort of gung ho and she was very hesitant, and because she was hesitant, it actually worked out in our favor. And then I brought her over here in October, I think, just before Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And it was cold and pissing rain. And
yeah.
And they had no power in here.
Really?
Hey, what do you think of this? And she's like, I don't know. So, and it's sort of.
So you guys own this place, right? And that's your wife?
No, we lease it.
Well, you lease it, but then that's your wife, right?
Yeah.
So this is called Cafe Aaron?
Yep.
Who's Aaron?
We get that a lot. Nobody. So Cafe Aaron is the English, the translation for it in English is Ireland Cafe.
Oh, I love it.
But we get it all the time. Who's Aaron? Are you Aaron?
And we're in Mendon. We're in the heart of Mendon. And I'm going to tell you a secret that I don't think I've ever said publicly on this podcast. And that is my wife and I, we live in Brighton.
Yeah.
As I've already mentioned, I'm from Rochester. She's from Fairport. We have talked many times about where we would eventually want to move and buy a forever home. We were married in Mendon. And we have said, We like Mendon. We could see ourselves moving to Mendon one day, because she like wants to move to Fairport. I don't dislike Fairport, but I don't love Fairport. And Brighton's great. I like Mendon, man. I like it out here.
So it's really interesting. So we live in Shortsville, and it's about 20 minutes from here. And so what I've discovered about Mendon is it's almost like a storybook community. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, we opened the doors, and the outpouring of support from the community was phenomenal.
They were probably so excited.
Just phenomenal.
Just to have you. And this little plaza that we're in, there's pizza across the street, there's ice cream next door. What is this little plaza we're in?
There's an art studio for kids down the road.
Yeah. Well, what is this, like, little plaza that we're in right here? I mean, is this a...
Mendon Commons.
Mendon Commons. Yeah, I mean, but it's... This is fantastic, and I don't even think I quite realized this was here. I've been to that grocery store a million times, right? Then, as I mentioned, we got married here, but I didn't know this little plaza of restaurants. So this building we're sitting in right here, Cafe Aaron, was there a restaurant in it just before you?
Yes.
So it was turnkey. That's good.
Yeah.
Right?
So so the restaurant was, for 20-something years, was called Krabby Dan's.
Okay.
And the lady that had it, her name is Heather, she had a phenomenal business, and right around COVID she got out, and somebody came in between me and her, but wasn't able to turn it on, or wasn't able to get it going.
Well, her name was what?
Heather,
and she had a place called Krabby Dan's.
Yeah.
So the problem with this place is you keep naming it after nobody. You know what I'm saying? Right. There's no Dan. There's no Aaron. The person in between probably. I'm just kidding. Yeah. I'm making a terrible joke. I'm sorry. It's the end of a day on a Friday. I'm just kidding. She's mad at me now. I'm just kidding. I'm not very funny, is what we're discovering.
So, go on. Like I said, the outpouring from the community was unbelievable. And
when you moved in here, though, there was somebody in between Krabby Dan's and you. So the place was a restaurant. It was ready to go.
It was a restaurant.
Yeah.
We'll say that.
Okay.
So we're sitting there next to the restroom. The restroom was over it. In the kitchen.
Oh, that's a choice, sure.
So we custom built the restroom.
Yeah. The restroom was in the kitchen, huh?
There's a room off the kitchen.
The
restroom was in. So we put the restroom over here, and we made some changes. Not many, though.
What was the vision? What was the vision? Because you've been chef for so long, you finally get your own joint. I mean, you said you'd been trying and you were trying to convince her and convince her, and let's do this. What was the thing that you would like stay up late at night and think, oh yeah, when I have my own place, I'm gonna.
So we had there's sort of two paths that we're walking down with the restaurant, and the first one is more family time, because not working nights, it sucks.
Yeah.
And Addie and I were passing, you know, she was working. She was working days and I was working nights. So we're passing each other, and, you know.
I get it.
And handing off kids and whatnot. And so that was the first motivation. And the second motivation was, you know, I'd sort of got to where I could go in Rochester.
Mm-hmm.
As far as, you know, I was always, you know, and I've had control of menus, but never really had my full control, because there was always someone, an owner, that had a veto. And so,
did that happen a lot, by the way?
It happens a lot.
Owner versus chef. That happens
I worked in some good places, so there wasn't too much pushback on most things, but some things were like.
Is it always just cost? Or is it creative different? Because in general, the chef is the creative, and then the owner is the one who comes in and goes, yeah, but cost.
Cost is always a factor. And,
yeah.
The other thing is that it's a very fine balance to walk between what you want to cook and what can sell. Commercial entity, right?
Yeah.
Because obviously that's why we're doing it, right?
Totally.
But I wanted to, I had no aspirations to be a breakfast lunch cook, but then when the opportunity presented itself and it was the right thing for us as a family, man, the hours are great.
Yeah. Well, so you guys are mostly breakfast lunch, or do you have night, are you open for dinner tonight or
tonight? Fridays
only.
We stay open for a fish fry.
Okay.
So we opened there in January, and Lent hit really early, so we were only doing fish fries.
Yeah, yeah.
Now we're a little looser on that, but
okay.
We try and stick to fish as much as we can on
Fridays. You, sir, you are living my dream retirement gig, by the way. I want to have three careers in life. One, radio, that's already done.
Yeah.
Second one, what I'm doing right now, manufacturing. This is the real one. This is the one that has to get me to the point where I can retire into my third career, which is breakfast/lunch cafe that's only open Monday through Friday.
Well, we're open. We're closed Monday, Tuesday. We open the weekends.
No, because you're running a business. I want to do it. Yeah, yeah. I want to do it to the point where I'm technically running a business, but my goal will just be to break even.
And a big thing was to cook the foods we want to cook, you know?
Yes.
And I suppose the third... a third wheel on that would be, or third leg on that stool would be, somewhere that's family oriented. You know, I worked in Rooney's in the city.
Yeah.
Great restaurant.
Sure.
Couldn't bring the kids there.
Right. Your kids are just here hanging out right now, and like, yeah, that's awesome.
The plaza's awesome because they can ride their bikes down that end.
Yeah.
Mendon itself is its own nice little community, but there's also a sub-community inside here, you know.
Yeah.
The kids come running over a couple of weeks ago with pizza, slices of pizza, and they're like, we got a job, we folded pizza boxes. I can't get them to wash a dish here, but,
yeah,
you know.
Well, now, wait a second now. I was going to compliment you on your use of child labor when I walked in, because when I walked in, you did have... she was taking an order.
She was, yeah, she loves to do that.
And how old is she again?
She's 11.
11, and she was taking an order.
Yeah. And especially now that...
And that's great.
She's got the iPad that...
Yeah.
She won't leave it alone, you know.
Well, you know what? That's enough work for her. She's 11. She, you know, she took one order. That's good. You know, that's enough.
When they get out of school, we're going to start making shoes.
And then you were also, before you came over to do the interview, you gave a couple tasks. You said, all right, all the, what was it, the mustard has to, or the mayonnaise?
Tartar
sauce has to get cupped and put in the cooler. That's great. You know what that is? It's called free labor, buddy. I don't blame you.
Oh, yeah.
No, not at all.
Also, I mean, you know, we take care of them.
Well, yeah, and also the sweet thing is, you know, 20, 30 years from now, they might own a restaurant, and they're going to talk about today. They're going to talk about, well, you know,
hopefully.
I used to take orders at my parents' restaurant, and I put all the tartar. My first job was I put tartar sauce in souffle cups. It's really sweet, actually.
Hey, everyone. This is Dina Jones, one of the founders of Joe Bean Roasters. At Joe Bean, our mission, Coffee That Lifts Everyone, is about giving selling power back to coffee farmers, as well as purchasing power into the hands of our customers. Through our network of farmers, we're able to bring you naturally grown, amazing coffee directly. Our long-term farming partners negotiate pricing based on cost of production, as well as quality of product, not on fluctuating, unpredictable market prices. This enables them to create thriving businesses with bright futures. And our customers get empowered knowing exactly who grows their coffee and how, as well as knowing they are a part of a new, sustainable, global coffee network. To try our coffee, go to JoeBeanRoasters.com and be sure to check out our Perpetual Joy coffee subscription to receive a rotating selection of single-origin coffee delivered right to your door. Thank you to all our Rochester friends who have supported us and our farming partners so wonderfully over the years. You are making a difference with every bag.
Welcome to the world of Punches and Popcorn, where we dive into the bone-breaking and kung-fu-kicking world of martial arts cinema. Join us on the path as we explore a new movie every episode, discussing the history, fighting styles, science, and more from a broad range of fight films. Everything from Bruce Lee to Jean-Claude Van Damme to John Wick. There's plenty of room in our temple of couch potato style. So listen in and subscribe to Punches and Popcorn on your favorite podcast app.
Yeah. Okay, so... You have the vision for this.
Yeah.
Did you always have the name?
No, actually, Addy chose the name.
Oh,
which
okay.
I'm okay with. I had to learn to love it.
Did you, for all those years that you envisioned this place, did you have other ideas for names? I mean,
I did.
Yeah.
I had, well, other ideas for food too. I mean,
okay.
But that was just. Based on where, you know, what I was doing. But now, not right now. They heard you on there.
Yeah.
Can we get an ice cream?
His daughter just came up and asked for ice cream. What's the question?
I also want to tell you guys that we're also on the path where some days it's, like, not very busy at all, and it's really slow.
Amen.
And then sometimes it's crazy.
And sometimes it's very fast and rushing.
That's business, bud. And then we blend our margin, and we try to figure out, you know, what do we have the right margin based on our slow time, our fast time? Yeah. And, you know, also slow time is when you get, like, some other work done. You get some deep cleaning done, prep, you know?
Yeah, and sometimes on Fridays, Richard gets really worried because we're not doing as much as we used to.
No.
So that's why.
They're too honest, aren't they, Richard?
How great a help are you?
I'm very good at helping, too, here.
Yeah, yeah. Good job.
And just going to tell you.
Oh. Oh, the ice cream store opened on the 27th. So
oh, buddy. Oh, buddy. Ice cream store right next door.
The reason is because it's freezing out right now, and we not even want to play it.
But there's chores to be done.
Yep, got to get the chores first, ice cream later. I like it. See, Chef Baker is a... You drive that child labor. You do your thing. We've got live parenting. This reminds me of one of my favorite episodes I ever did was when Shayna from Effortlessly Healthy actually one time had an entire argument with her child while we were doing a podcast. I'm going to take a drink of beer. It is 3 o'clock on a Friday. I'm drinking a beer. No worries.
Sounds good.
All right. That was a good negotiation. You just negotiated. And you know what? They're tough, and they understand how to bribe. They understand that we will resort to bribing.
Yeah. If you would listen behind me there, she's telling Mom that he said this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. My son tells on me all the time for stuff. Yeah. My son cuts. Like, I'll literally be watching TV or something. Something will happen on TV, and I'll go, shit, I didn't know the Cavs game is at 7:30 tonight instead of 7 o'clock. My son will get up in the living room, run upstairs, complete, doesn't even tell me, doesn't even say, hey, Daddy, you're in trouble. Just gets up, runs upstairs, and then I hear upstairs. He gets upstairs and goes, Mommy, Daddy said shit.
we have a radio flyer wagon
for
hauling the garbage out of here.
Yeah.
And so I was goofing around one day, and I hooked it to the back of the car and gave the kids a little ride.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a lot of fun, but, man, they came in and squealed.
Yeah, that is fun. That's very fun. Well, I like she's answering the phone now, and she's taking orders. So, I mean, look, she's the future of the biz, you know what I'm saying? Okay, so the vision of the menu.
Yeah.
What you had visioned for all those years versus what we have today. Walk me through the menu, what we have today, and what didn't quite make it on the menu from your original vision.
Well, so there's on my current menu, there's the standard breakfast staples that are, you know.
Yes.
That you bread and butter, you have to do them, right?
Yeah, American style, right?
Yeah.
Is there any Irish style breakfast on
there? There is. We have an Irish breakfast, which is bacon, sausage. It's my family recipe, and Swan's, you know, Swan's Market? And
yeah, of course.
He makes it for me.
Oh, it's a custom sausage for you? Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and then we do a black and a white pudding, so a blood sausage and a pork meal sausage.
Wow.
And then that comes with tomato and mushroom.
Okay, and that's Irish breakfast.
Yeah.
That sounds delish.
And so that would be pretty standard at home. And then we have...
American, all the American breakfasts.
American stuff.
Yeah.
So, we have a Reuben, which I'm really proud of because, you know, we put a lot of time into the corned beef.
Of course.
And then we're not quite there yet, but we're about to start punching our own fries.
Oh, great. Oh, God, I love a good cut, a fry that was cut in-house and then
right.
fried.
And we're going to put them like almost like a little bit bigger than a steak fry.
Yeah, yeah.
So
can I run a French fry recipe by you real quick?
Yeah.
I did this. I half made this up, and I half took advice from Ronnie from Le Petit Poutine. So I cut my own French fries. I had to do it by hand because I don't have a cutter. But I cut my own French fries, and then I soaked it forever in water, soaked it for hours. And then I did it in the oven for 5 or 10 minutes, and then I finished it in hot oil for like another couple of minutes. and then just a shit ton of salt. And it was freaking fantastic. Oh, yeah. They're like perfect. Is that right? Does that sound right for a
That's
French
awesome,
fry?
Yeah.
Okay, good, good, good.
Crispy on the outside and soft.
Yes,
right? Yeah.
Yes.
Huh. So, I'm trying to remember his name.
Who? Another chef?
Yeah. I have his book. He's a New York guy, but he's based in San Francisco now. Fox, Jeremy Fox.
Okay.
So he's kind of like the first wave of vegetarian cooking.
Okay, yeah.
In his book, he has this thing where they make basically scalloped potatoes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then they press them, mm-hmm. and then they cut them into French fries.
Mm.
And they fry them.
That's probably amazing. Is that what you're going to do?
Well, so I've done that in other restaurants for specials, and it's... Like, it's super labor intensive.
Sure.
But it's, like, far out.
It's got to be, yeah.
And so I'm trying to figure out how to... So that's the beginning of... In the fall menu.
Yeah.
That's the beginning of a dish in the fall menu.
And I would like to point out that the recipe I gave for French fries just now, for everyone who likes to say, oh, Polly, you don't talk about healthy stuff, and Polly, don't you realize vegan is really in right now? That was a vegan French fry recipe. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm kidding, obviously. Okay, I interrupted you, but go on. So yeah,
So that's the. This is my process for making. So that's the start. So I'm gonna have three of them. So they're probably like 2 inches thick by probably 4 inches long.
Okay.
And they're like super decadent, right?
Yeah.
Because it's scalloped potatoes that are.
Yeah, right. Sounds amazing.
So that's, I've got to figure out what to pair with that. So that's where I start. I had a... No. I had a hash brown in... Where's your sister live? Where's Alicia live? Maryland,
okay.
And they put a cured egg yolk on top.
Cool.
And it was really awesome. It was like potatoes and cheese.
Yeah.
And so now on our menu, I kind of stole that idea, but I put an egg yolk into the hash brown.
Yes.
And then we set it in almost like a butter casing.
Damn it.
And cook it.
Oh.
Up. And we top it with chorizo.
Oh, that sounds good. And what's that called?
Just a hash brown.
Hash brown, okay. Oh, that sounds good.
So that's where the element of fun still comes into our menus and stuff like that. What else do we...
So that's breakfast. Get into lunch now, too.
Yeah,
so we do
breakfast and lunch, but I'll cook whatever you want, whenever you want.
Yeah, I figure. Well, I love that too. Because you know what was so funny was when McDonald's started doing breakfast all day, I'm the guy who, because I always worked in radio for years and I worked early mornings, I've always kept very weird hours and been up very early. I've never really had a particular affinity for eating breakfast in the morning or dinner at night. I will happily eat dinner first thing in the morning, and I will happily eat breakfast at night. And I know a lot of people have breakfast for dinner, and people go, oh, that's very normal. I get that a lot of people do breakfast for dinner, but I also sometimes at 8 o'clock in the morning want a cheeseburger. I don't know how to explain it. I know that's weird to people, but Burger King, believe it or not, used to do that. They had a value meal on their breakfast menu before COVID. They had like the Whopper meal was available during breakfast, and I used to get it more often than I care to admit. Because it just, nobody did that. Nobody ever did that. So I like that you'll just make anything anytime. Why not?
Yeah,
right?
Right.
Yeah. So what's the lunch specials, though? Like, what's your, you do lunch. We talked about breakfast. You got the Irish breakfast. Yeah. What's the crown jewel of the lunch menu? Excuse me.
Probably the Reuben.
Right? Reuben,
would
sure.
What would you say, Eddie?
Yeah.
What would be the highlight of the lunch menu?
Lunch menu-wise,
the Yep.
Irish breakfast,
yeah. Yeah. Reuben.
And then our fish fry carries us.
Yeah.
So a thing about the fish fry, the lady that had the business, I got a hold of her on the phone, and and talked to her about it, and she gave me a ton of recipes, and she gave me her fish fry recipe, which apparently was a super hidden secret.
Yep.
I tweaked it a little bit. I just switched the beer. That's all.
Okay.
She was using like an amber beer or a Budweiser or something like that, and I just switched it. And I used a red beer.
Yep.
And
you gave me one, by the way.
Oh yeah.
I'm having the right now. I'm having a fish fry without the fish or the batter, just the beer.
There you go. So that's the only switch. And,
yeah.
And then it's kind of tragic because a couple of weeks after we opened, she passed away.
No.
Very suddenly.
Oh, that's too bad.
But, we're open and we're our own entity.
Yeah.
And we're standalone business. And
yeah,
and,
sure.
And it's our thing, so to speak. However, her legacy is, you know, what we're building on, because she had a phenomenal business before we got here.
And do you find that a lot of her customers are still they're still your customers this day?
I've had so many people walk through the kitchen to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Because the bathroom used to be there.
That's funny. Yeah. What do you think that was the place in any way by the person who came in between? Right, there's this 20-year success in town, and then there's you, and you're doing well. The person that came in between, did they tarnish in any way, or did they just bad luck, bad timing?
You know, I think it's a combination of bad luck and bad timing, and the scuttlebutt. And I didn't know the person, didn't know anything about it. Was irregular hours, and I think that's
okay.
I mean, that's gonna hurt you, you know.
Yeah, how do you mean? Just they were open weird times.
So the landlord has told me that, you know, he posted his hours, and then some days people come and he's not here.
Right.
Know, or
that will kill you.
Yeah,
that'll kill
you. He'd open
you.
Up in the morning and do okay, and then close at noon.
That's unfortunate. You hear about that every once in a while, and that's unfortunate. That's unprofessional.
Right.
It's not, I don't know. There's a million things you could say about that, but all right. Well, I guess that didn't really hurt you though, right?
No.
I mean, you come in, Mendon's ready for you, they're excited for you.
Yeah, you know. And there's been days here where, you know, and I'm sure I'll have more of them where, you know, I'm sitting here panicking.
Oh god, yeah.
You know.
Oh yeah.
There's also like my friend that's coming in, Sean, his wife, she works for Corning, and she's shown me how to look at the long range view, because when working for an owner, in other jobs, my responsibilities are sort of day to day or by the week, and so you're looking very short term.
Yes.
Whereas, as an owner, you got to look long term.
You do, yeah.
And that's which is I'm having an awful lot of trouble transitioning to that.
Yeah, you zoom in, you know, and numbers help. You now owning the place, you get to see your numbers.
Right.
And you know, when you don't own the place, you don't get to see those numbers, but that allows you to zoom out.
Mm-hmm.
And look, like my wife and my mother-in-law and I also have this little grocery store in Fairport called Redbird. And that business is a smaller business, and I'll do like their numbers report for them once a month, where I'll say, "Hey, I looked at your profit and loss statement, and here's what I'm seeing, right? Here's what I think." But I always zoom it out and I say, here's what March looked like. Here's what the whole first quarter looked like. Here's what all of 2023 then looked like. And then here's how first quarter 23 compared to first quarter 24, March 23 compared to March 24. You get just the more and more of like data that you get, you see things. But ultimately what you're looking for is trends.
Yep.
You're looking for trends. And when you start to see a trend, you start to realize something. Because any given day could be a great day, could be a terrible day.
Oh, yeah.
But the trend is what won't lie to you.
Yep.
The trend will tell you the truth, right?
Oh yeah, and we're seeing a lot of trends here, and for like I have very limited experience in looking into under the engine, you know.
Yeah.
And now with the system we have there, getting in under the engine, it's like
it's fascinating, right?
It really is.
Yeah.
Get lost in it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I imagine, and this is none of my business, but I imagine labor cost is cheap because it's you, right? Yeah. So you control your labor. Expensive, not cheap. Yeah, it's inexpensive because it's you're paying slave rates at this point, right? You're working for free, or probably mostly. That sucks, but at the same time, your biggest expense here is going to be labor and food.
Yep.
That's what it's always going to be. So you can get your mark. The other thing I want to tell you, I don't want to say it too loud because you got customers. It's Menden. Bro, people are rich here. They're rich. Charge a lot. You could charge higher.
Well,
you know, mark that shit up. Restaurant margins are tough. I know that. It's always been tough. But, you know, again, you have a cool thing going here because it's sort of open concept. You're cooking it right there. You're talking to people as you're making their food. You know, it's you can loop in that there's some experience. You're offering an experience. You're also got to play up being Irish. Oh, look, she's pulling fish fries out there right now. Oh, those look good. Oh, mama. Holy moly, that looks good.
You ought to give up to U of R, Eddie.
Yeah, yeah.
You ought to give up to U of R.
Those fish fries you're pulling out of there. Wow, those look good.
I like my job at the university.
What does she do at U of R?
She's a phlebotomist at U of R.
Oh, no big deal. Okay. And then, you know, on Friday nights, she fish fries.
Oh, yeah. So we had one of the things that we do here that I'm very, that I think that, like, it's, I don't know how to describe it, because I don't want to be, like, sort of, like, pat myself on the back, but it's one of the things that I'm really proud of that we've decided to do.
Go for it.
So Addie's from Lodi, New York, right? You know where that is?
Yeah, I do know where Lodi, New York is,
so
believe
you go
it or
to
not.
The end of the world, right, and turn left.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
One horse town. And I grew up outside of Dublin, which is, you know, a big city.
Yeah.
And so we live in Shortsville, which is, we're in the middle, you know.
Yep.
And one of the beauties of men, and you mentioned wanting to live here, right, is so Victor blew up. Right.
Yeah.
And I see Fairport is
blowing up,
following trend. Right.
Yes. Yeah.
And blowing up.
Yeah.
And it's cool. Like where we live, so we're 10 minutes into Victor, 15 minutes into Victor, and we're effectively in a city.
Yeah.
But this place still feels like a small town. So we had a huge support from the expat, from the Irish, English, Scottish community.
Uh-huh.
And so we, on the leap year this year, we opened up at nighttime and cooked a meal for them.
Great.
And it's turned into a monthly thing, and now it's turned into a monthly thing. And so we only opened in January and we're in May now, but it's an open house that we do once a month.
Cool.
And it's really cool because it still, like, the cool thing about it is that we as a family get to mingle with the guests.
What do you do? You just mean that you stay open late on
we
one
open
rant?
Up. The last one was on a Saturday night, so we cooked some food and put it on the counter, and everybody came in and ate.
Oh, sort of an offering, like a free. Yep. Hey, come on in, just come in, say hi, grab a bite, you know, and we'd love to meet the community. That's a great idea.
So then, what we started doing is. I'll take my calendar out and we'll have a...
You know who just walked by your freaking restaurant? That was Jamie Saunders just walked by. That's the CEO of United Way. That's who that was that just walked by. She caught my eye. I saw her going in the window and I'm going, holy shit, that's Jamie freaking Saunders. Look at her. See, even she's in Menden right now. Isn't that crazy? All right, go on.
So I take out my calendar and we talk about what the next available day would be. And what's best for everyone, and then we have a sort of a vote on what to cook.
Yeah,
and it's fun.
That's fun.
Sean,
5:00. Even I knew that. That was part of the podcast. Okay. All right, we're almost done. Actually, it's 4:29. We have to be done at 4:30 anyway. Okay. My wife's yelling. Both our wives are yelling at us. You see how they? All right. So good. When's the next open house? Is it scheduled yet?
Yes, May 25th.
May 25th.
Yeah.
Out here at Cafe Aaron in Menden.
Yep.
Stop by, meet everybody, grab a bite to eat. Yep. I love it. Fantastic.
So the cool thing is I get to be a little chefy because I we kind of have carte blanche on what we cook.
Yeah, sure.
My food rep is phenomenal. She'll give me samples.
Yeah.
When I mention that thing.
Who are we talking about? What vendor?
JFS.
Oh yeah.
Renee. I don't know if you know Renee.
I don't know Renee, but I know JFS. And I would like to say that I like to still refer to them as Jacobstein Food. What is the... Oh, yeah, Jacobstein Food Service. Because I don't like that they hide the Jacobstein. I think they should be proud. They should be Jacobstein. Jacobstein, whatever it is. I want to put that Jewishness front and center. Do it. I love it. Anyway,
so
I like
they,
it.
You know, they've been supportive of us. And then Addie usually will make a dessert. And and it's fun. It's just fun.
Great. Good. Okay. You know. Wonderful. All right, well, you are getting yelled at. I have to go pick up pizza and bring it home to my family. I think overall we've done it, Chef. We've been talking about doing this podcast for about 3 years, by the way, you and me.
That's right.
Because
yeah.
Every time I used to walk through that kitchen at New York Kitchen, you used to go, when are we doing a podcast?
That's right.
And I used to always go, I wonder where that guy's from. I love that accent. What do Irish people think of British people?
You know.
Yeah, not so much?
We're okay.
All right, rank in order. What's the whole Great Britain, right? We got the English, we got the Irish, we've got the Scottish, the Welsh.
Yeah.
Am I missing anybody? That's everybody, right?
That's it, yeah.
Northern Ireland, do we still call them Irish, or are they...
Still the same.
They're still Irish? Okay.
In my view, yeah.
They're just not the good Irish.
They're vegetarian.
Are they? What the... let's rank the English, the Welsh, and the Scottish. Who do we like, who do we not?
Oh, we like them all. You know,
all right. But we're all in on this together.
Well, out in America, you know, we're all the foreigners. So.
That's true. That's true. When you come across another Irish person in America, do you just, like, cling to each other? Are you just like, oh, my God, let's... Do you know Damien Mulconry? You got to go in there.
Yeah,
Mulconry's in Fairport. You got to go in. You'd get the VIP treatment.
He's dangerous to hang around, man.
Oh, my God. He's freaking nuts. And I mean that as a compliment, Damien.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no. He's a super guy.
Yeah, yeah. But he is dangerous to hang out with.
I was at a couple of events, and him and Eddie Sheridan almost killed me.
Yes, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
All right, Chef. Thank you for doing this.
All right.
I appreciate it. Cafe Aaron down here in Mendon. Thank you.
This has been a presentation of the Lunch Hour Podcast Network.